And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Go for it, kid.
Go for it. That's all I keep doing is going for it. Well, we're back. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, being broadcast all over the planet and beyond on CRNTalk.com.
You realize that if we take a spaceship and go beyond the speed of light, we can hear all the back shows forever?
Book it.
I am.
Book it now. I want to go. Hey, what's the latest news happening this week, last week, or whatever? According to LBN, or Levine Breaking News, Pope Francis, you know, that's the guy who lives in the Vatican, he admitted that out of the approximately 414,000 priests that work for him, 2%, or at least 8,000 of the clergy, are pedophiles. Now, I have always said that the Muslims are still fighting the Crusades that date back to the 11th and 12th centuries and refuse to give up the fight or change. Well, what about the Catholic Church that adopted celibacy back in the 10th century? And they also refuse to change. They should wake up to the fact that it is now the 21st century, and it's time to let priests get laid like normal people, and maybe then they wouldn't have so many pedophiles among them.
And they'll probably have more priests.
Yeah, right.
If they could get married.
They'll have more kids.
More kids.
And priests bred more priests.
Well, the story that I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that the reason that priests couldn't marry is because in the old days, the priests were the wealthy people. And when they passed away, they left all their wealth to their heirs.
Oh, I don't know
about that. And then if they couldn't get married, they had no heirs, and they left their estates to the church. Sounds good to me.
Well, fine. That's just a theory.
If anybody disagrees with me, please let us know.
Yeah, email us. Hey, one more thing that I noticed that's happening. And this is, I just discovered this a few days ago. As a writer, I'm always contemplating what my next project should be. One of the books on my back burner is entitled, It's Time to Stop the BS. Now, I use the initials of the keyword in spite of the fact that it is in the dictionary. I did so in deference to Paul in the control booth so he doesn't have to bleep it out and can continue uninterrupted with his ham sandwich. One of the basic principles or premises of the book is that we all live in a bell-curved world in every aspect of our lives. And as a result of this bell curve, we have to deal with the lunatic fringes on both sides of whatever we as a nation decide to discuss. Well, we have a new kid on the block. Well, maybe not so new because they've been around for almost 20 years. But they are beginning to get some notoriety as of late. I'm talking about Stormfront, the latest in hate groups, whose social groups include Union of National Socialists and fans and supporters of Adolf Hitler. And I'm not making this up. You can Google it, and it's all there right before your eyes. And for your information, those states with the highest percentage of their population logging onto Stormfront are Montana, Idaho, Oregon, and Alaska. What say you, Malcolm?
You got me speechless.
Speechless.
Speechless. But now let's figure. Do you have anything else to talk about, or is that about it for today?
Not really. I mean, I scour through the papers and the magazines looking for things that people generally don't pick up on. Things that happen, but they get lost in the never-ending pages of and publications of newspapers and magazines, things that are on the back page or next to the last page, things that people don't notice. That's what I like to bring forward.
Right. Well, that's the whole premise of the show. They can hear the top news on any station they tune into.
Yeah, just tune in on CNN.
Right.
You'll get it all.
This is the only station that they hear the news that nobody else talks about.
That's true. Now, I think it's time for us to bring on our next guest.
Well, I don't know if
you have something else you want to add.
No. He's our resident rabbi and a film critic, who's now. I know he has to leave in about another 15 minutes because he has a.
Then we better get him on now. Okay. And Jerry, I apologize for calling you a guest. You're a part of this show as much as I am. Or Malcolm,
are you there, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm happy being a guest.
Oh, okay. Would you want to be a special guest?
I have Jeff on the phone also.
I'll be the guest.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. The blushing bride.
No, that's right. Well, and really blushing today.
Uh-oh.
After what we saw last night.
Oh, yeah. Pray tell, what did you see?
Sex tapes.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. And Jerry hasn't told me what he thought about it, but let him tell you about the film, and then we'll discuss it.
Go for it, Jerry.
Okay. First, it's singular, Sex Tape, and it stars Jason Segel, Cameron Diaz, and Rob Lowe. What the heck Rob Lowe is doing in there, I don't know, and I'll have to ask him one day. I got to tell you what's happening to our country, aside from what Stan just said, which is very sad and true. It's a sexual revolution, and in this film, it's revolting. Every conceivable position, sexual position, is explored, open for every young, impressionable, deviant in training to emulate.
Like Kama Sutra?
Kama Sutra is tame. It is ugly, it is demeaning, and a blight on the ongoing self-degradation of the once proud American cinema. We're going to hell in a basket.
Interrupt here and say, I agree with you, Jerry, but I think those things done in private are fine. I just don't want to watch someone else doing it.
Yeah, well, that's...
So in cinema, yeah, but you're saying it was disgusting. The positions and... Blah, blah, blah. But,
well, you know,
but
Cameron
they actually
Diaz,
show
I like.
All of that in that movie?
Yes.
Jerry, you just made the movie a blockbuster.
Yeah, I know. Sadly, it's going to be because every kid
for the perverts.
The 11 on is going to see this.
Well, what is the restriction? You know, what is the, does it have an X
rating.
Or a double X or what?
You know what? It's an R. It should be a double X, yes.
An R?
Yeah.
So that means if you go with your parent, you could watch it.
Yes, and parents got to have their head examined. But then again, most parents throughout this country have to have their heads examined.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And now the concept is to recapture their sexual drive after years of marriage. They decide to tape themselves doing their encounter to liven up the now staid and dull sex life.
If anyone remembers the Joy of Sex, the book, that they reenact every position in the book. Sorry, Jerry?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, they do. And it's nothing is left to the imagination. There's no frontal nudity, but you see enough of Cameron Diaz and enough of him, his tuchus. You know what? What once was delicate, what once was sacred, is out in the open. There's a kid in there. You know, he's in what, sixth grade or something. He's the most vile, obnoxious kid whose mouth is as filthy as a portable toilet at a rock concert. It's disgusting to listen to him because he holds up, he gets his hand on the tape.
Jerry, do you think they had to do a lot of rehearsal before they filmed this movie?
No, I don't, because they're both experienced, I'm sure.
Yeah, how can we see the outtakes?
Jerry was very slow leaving the theater, and I figured, I bet he's looking for the outtakes.
And Jeff... Jeff was saying, and I've got to bring this up, what Jeff said, it's disgusting, terrible, I couldn't watch it. I said, you wouldn't have said that 40 years ago. She said, yes, I would. I don't believe that.
No, I think if you have taste. I found this, well, the three C's, crude, crass, and convoluted. There was nothing to really save it. The storyline was stupid, made no sense whatsoever.
And if I can answer, there's only one funny scene,
yes.
And Jeff will concur, with the dog in Rob Lowe's house. It has nothing to do with sex. The dog...
God.
He comes across this animal while he's looking for the sex tape for an iPad. It was sent up somehow by mistake in all his in the cloud. And he wants to get back the
iPads.
iPads, thank you. The iPads that he gave to his friends before. So before they see it, he wants to get a hold of it. And he's encountered by a dog over there, which as he's digging around, his wife keeps Rob Lowe busy while he goes searching for the tape.
You know, this has happened in real life with a couple of different movie stars, not that many years ago. I remember Pamela Anderson and her husband, I think it was Tommy Lee at the time, something like that, and it went viral.
A two-bit, I don't want to go there, but anyway, and the Hilton girl, Kardashian, come on, these things don't all of a sudden show up and say, oh my God, they become stars. The way to become a star in Hollywood is to have a great body, have a sex tape shown, leak out by mistake, and tomorrow you're a huge star. Now, what does that say about our country?
Not a thing. Nothing favorable.
Nothing good. Nothing
positive.
Now,
I've always felt that the sexiest movies are those that show the least and just go by what the camera conveys or gives as an impression.
You're right. I'll never forget To Catch a Thief, where Cary Grant and what's her name, the beautiful woman?
Eve Marie Saint.
No.
Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly. When they hug and they fall into in a couch, I guess, and then it cuts away and you see fireworks in France. The fireworks going off. Okay. I can accept that.
Yeah, but that was a little hokey.
You know what? In those days, it was good.
And
today would be hokey, my friend Stan. Yeah, you want to see the real thing.
Well, you know what? Also, when you look today with the court case against the woman who took pictures of her daughter, the child, baby, on the beach, and her sister pulling down her suit in the back to imitate the Coppertone ad, which I see nothing wrong with. I thought it's adorable. They didn't show anything. And plus, then we have all this nudity, you know. And I think we have a double standard.
Well,
here.
Those people are not complaining about it. That's the problem. They complain when they see as something as innocent as she pictured.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see the real thing. And the language, the inference, I mean, everything about it is degrading.
So,
you walk out there after taking
Jerry, we're coming up to that time again, but don't go away. I have some questions about this incredible movie.
And we'll get you out of the house by 10:30, definitely.
Okay, my man.
Okay, you're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRNTalk.com and rebroadcast on Saturday and Sundays. And we'll be right back. Oh, by the way, if you want to pick up old shows, it's www.viewfromoverhere.com. No, the viewfromoverhere.com. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Listen to the commercials, buy the product, so they will re-sponsor our show.
Okay, we're back. This is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman on The View from Over Here.
With? Who's on the phone?
Who's on the phone? You don't know. It's Jerry and Jeff Cutler. Okay, and they're going
Fisher.
To... Cutler.
Yes.
Okay. And they are going to finish up the incredible X-rated movie review.
It's actually, it's R-rated, too.
R-rated. Yeah, but Jerry says it should be double X.
No, Jerry said it shouldn't have been done in the first place.
No, it shouldn't have been. Well, let it be done, but don't film it. Don't release it.
Jerry, what was the production company, or who were the producers and directors? You didn't mention that.
Yeah, well, probably I chose not to.
No, who was the star of it? I don't have anything in front of me.
Who was what?
Who is the star of it? Jason?
Jason Segel. He also was one of the writers. And you know, anyone out there who would love to get his jollies off, he sits and writes a dirty film and he puts himself in it. You get paid while doing something that you are enjoying.
Well, if Cameron Diaz is nude, I'll go there.
Uh-huh. She's not fully nude. But,
she is fully nude, but they don't show it all.
Cameron, the backside. Cameron Diaz, I think, is a wonderful actress. She gave a performance of Vanilla Sky. I don't know if you guys remember that. With Tom Cruise, and it was a very, it was like a cameo role. She was absolutely brilliant. To this day, I remember it so vividly. She is a fine, dramatic and comedic actress, and more power to her, but I wish the heck she'd stay away from these ridiculous films that exploit sex.
Did you see her in the movie The Counselor?
Yeah.
That movie I was watching on cable.
Her performance there may have been a prequel to this one.
Oh, The Counselor, the sex counselor, you mean?
No.
The Counselor.
The one that was made by Ridley Scott, The Counselor.
Okay.
Oh, I guess you didn't see it.
I don't see
it. You'd remember it if you saw it.
It's on HBO if you're interested in seeing it.
Actually, I'm not, but
thanks. By the way, what would your rating be on the movie if you had a rate on a purely movie schedule, ratings?
I'd rate it 2 X's. without the O's, because there was nothing, the sanctity of love is not in it. In fact, it's destroyed.
Well, out of 4 bagels, would you give it anything, or would it be negative?
It would probably be negative. For the production value, maybe a half a bagel. For that one scene, which I laughed, Jeff also, it was a funny scene.
But by the way, have you seen this movie, and it's out on tape, called Le Weekend? It's called Le Weekend, L-E, Weekend.
Oh, yes. It's a wonderful film.
Yeah, because you remind me of someone. I think the premise of that movie is a couple that was married 30 years.
And
they go a weekend.
To recapture
some of their romance. And they're English, and they go for a weekend in Paris.
Yeah.
But just reminded me of...
Actually, if anyone hasn't caught that, please do so. It is a wonderful film.
Yeah, but it's the same premise, except they didn't do a sex tape. To recapture a certain romance in your marriage. Are you there?
Oh,
they're
you know
thinking.
What? I'm here.
Anyway, what movie are you going to see now? I know you're running out of the house.
We're going to see Le Chef.
Le Chef.
We've already heard good reports on it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And so it's sort of a docudrama, I believe.
Oh, The Chef, yes. And we better go right now, otherwise we're going to miss it all.
Hey, Jerry, Jeff, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to your review next week.
And I will send it out to you.
Last week's review also, so we'll put it on our website.
You'll get it in Woody Allen's movie next week.
And you promised, and we still haven't gotten it.
Yeah, no, I haven't written it yet.
That's why we didn't get it.
No, you know, it opens next week, and I had to promise them in writing that I would not talk about the film before it comes out.
Okay. Jerry, get out of there and get to the movie.
God bless you.
Thank
guys.
You. Bye-bye.
All right, have fun. See you next week.
Okay. You're listening to The View from over here on CRNTalk.com, and we're going to be right back with Pia Zadora.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. You're listening to, again, to The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com and heard on www.viewfromoverhere.com. Write your comments. Let us know what you want. Let us know if you want to come on the show. Let us know if you want to sponsor the show. Let us know anything you want us to know. We'll be right back. Okay, Stan, take over.
Well, this is Stan Weisleder and Malcolm Berman here in the studio in downtown glamorous Sunland. We have a very special guest on now.
Who we just heard.
We just played a sample of just a smidgen of her music. Now, I've seen her before. I've seen her on stage singing her heart out. Pia Zadora is indeed a pint-sized performer, but with a voice that will knock your socks off. That was my impression when I saw her. And if it wasn't for those cheapo, less expensive seats up in the boonies, she wouldn't even need a microphone. That's how good she was.
Pia, are you aboard?
Wow, you guys are just blowing me away here.
Well, but everything as Stan said was true, because I have seen you perform also, and you're very dynamic.
Thank you.
And you also sound wonderful. Did you hear that recording?
I did. That was Pia and Phil with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. I was pregnant with my first baby when I made that record.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that gives you extra blood and extra energy, because you had more oxygen.
No, but I was kind of nauseous, which was weird.
Yeah, it wouldn't be nice throwing up on the conductor.
No, it wasn't. It was a great time. That was very exciting for me on a lot of levels because, you know, I was starting my new career in the standards. I had been a rock singer. In fact, I was nominated for a Grammy for Best Female Rock Artist. I think it was like 1922. No, it was like 1985. and then I went with Sinatra. And he started me singing the beautiful American standards. And so it was a new era for me.
Yeah, that's the kind of music that I like and Malcolm likes. I have a daughter who considers that kind of music, believe it or not, classical.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's American classic.
Yeah, they're the American classics. But that music is, in a way, classical. But it's not obviously classical music.
It's real music with real words.
Yeah.
But you know something, I remember I grew up in the age of rock and roll, and I remember everybody, the older generation, my parents, aunts, and uncles said, how could you listen to that noise? And they were products, of course, of the classical music. I think the 1950s and part of the 60s were the... the big band singers. I mean, they were the popular, the Sinatras, the Vaughn Monroe, the Tony Bennett's. Of course, Tony Bennett is still around today.
Oh, yeah. He's doing great. And he always keeps, up with the times. He does duets with contemporary singers.
Yeah, he did a duet with Lady Gaga, and I was surprised to see how great it was, the two of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, with your, I was reading some of your bio in Wikipedia. You started out as a child.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just at the Fiddler reunion in June. There was a Fiddler, the 50th anniversary of the show, and the 90th birthday of Sheldon Harnick. And it was a very, very emotional time for me because I was seeing people that I hadn't seen in 50 years.
Wow.
We were all on stage at Town Hall singing Sunrise, Sunset, and reminiscing, and Topol was there, and most of the original cast was there, the people that are still with us. And I was a baby at that time. I think I was like 9 years old.
Well, who did you play?
I played Bielka, Tevye's youngest daughter.
Hey, well, let's get to some questions, Pia. Number one, why did you drop out?
Well, I needed to raise my kids.
Okay.
You know, I had two kids originally, and I was traveling with them. And, you know, then they had to go to school. They had to settle down. And then I got remarried and had a third child, and he had some special needs. And I realized I really needed to stop and focus on being a mom. And, you know, I just got into it. And now my baby, who is having some issues, is 17, and he's doing great. And, in fact, he's my agent now. He travels with me. He's
he
a baseball
is your agent?
Fan.
Wow, so that's all in the family.
It's all in the family. He's a baseball fan, so he goes to all the baseball games.
So are you in Minnesota now, as we're talking about? They have the All-Star game tonight.
No, I'm in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
That's where I live now, in Vegas.
Where do you live in Vegas?
I live in Summerlin, which is like up in the mountains.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Well, Stan has you have a house in Vegas, right?
Yeah, at Red Rock.
Red Rock.
Oh, I'm right over you. Right in
back. Yeah, we're neighbors.
Oh, my God. Are you members of the Red Rock Country Club?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
But you guys got to do lunch or dinner.
Yeah, well, you've got to come to Pia's place here. You know, I have my own cabaret room here. I've had it for like 9 months now.
What is the name of it again?
It's called Pia's Place. It's at
Pia's Place. Where is it located?
At Piero's on Convention Center Drive.
Okay.
And it's really, really fun. I'll buy you a Pia TV.
Yeah. Oh, you got a deal. Now, for our listeners, anything that you would recommend about this place? Are there better nights to go than others? Because sometimes if a place is run by a well-known entertainer, some nights are so busy you can't even get a table.
You mean for Pia's Place?
Yeah.
Of course.
Pia's Place is only – well, I was thinking you meant New York at the Metropolitan Room. Excuse me, I wasn't sure, but Pia's Place is only Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And every night is perfect.
Are you often there when you're not on the road?
Oh, yeah. That's my home base, and that's where I, you know, a lot of the performers around town. It's a vintage Vegas kind of thing. I have Vinnie Falcone, who is Sinatra's conductor, and I have Joe Lano, who all the creme de la creme musicians with me, and a lot of the local performers like Clint Holmes, Zoe Bowie, Chris Phillips, and a lot of impersonators and a lot of comedians like Geechee Guy and Rich Little is constantly there. And, you know, I bring them up and they do their thing and we do duets together and I just...
It's great so that you could work the room at the same time.
Exactly. And I have fun, make fun of everybody, make fun of myself. We laugh, we drink. It's just very cool.
And your customers probably love it.
Yeah, they do. And we have so many repeat people. And even in the summer... It's really booming. I expected it to be slow, but people just come in and they just, you know, have a good time.
Do you have a website that we could our listeners could go to?
Yeah, piazadora.com, my official website.
Okay. Piazadora.com. Mm-hmm. Go there and meet Pia.
Yeah, please.
How far are you out of I'm unfamiliar with Las Vegas. How far are you away from the Strip?
About 20 minutes.
It's just on the other, you know, on by the mountains, and you can actually see the Strip at night, and you just drive right down Desert Inn, and you're there.
Because sometimes I know when I'm there, I just want to get away from all the hustle bustle. You know, after 2 days, you've had enough of it.
Yeah, well, that's why I love it here.
Quick question. This has nothing to do with the show, but would you like to be my guest at the Red Rock Country Club? But what night is good or what day is good?
Well, when are you coming?
Well, I'm stuck here in L.A. for probably the rest of this month. I'll definitely be there sometime in August, and that should be the time. You'll be at the Metropolitan Room the beginning of August, and your background info says that you'll be coming west towards the end of August.
Well, I'll be back here on the 12th in Vegas, and I'll be here until the 19th, and then I go to L.A., because I'm in L.A. for the 22nd and 23rd at Vitello's. So anytime between
Vitello's,
the 11th And the 20th, I'm available.
Great.
Oh, yeah, but I'll have to see you there because an old friend of mine owns that, Matt Epstein.
Oh, my God. You know what? This is a very small town, and it's great. I love it. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody, all the performers are so supportive of each other. It's a very cool place.
Well, that's what it is in the entire entertainment field. I mean, I'm just a nothing talk show host. Yet a lot of the people that come on, somehow they think I'm important. And I said, no, I'm not important. I'm nobody. You're important. You, the guest. People want to hear you, not me. I just provide the ways and means for you to come on and talk to all of those people out there.
Well, you do have a point that if it weren't for you providing the way and means, we wouldn't be able to talk to all those people. And you make a great conversation, and you're fun, and that's important. So, you know, feel good about yourself.
Well, okay. I won't feel...
That was my moment, my psychology moment of the day.
All right, good. Now, is there anything... Oh, wait a minute. I got a great question. I know, and I'm asking this partly in jest and partly, you know, really, really a question. In all of your experience, and you've played with all of the great ones, all of the big ones, are there any special stories that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, my most extended period of time, well, there are two. Let me do it real quick. When I was in Fiddler as a kid, I always played Jewish girls for some reason, and I was not Jewish. So Zero called me his little shiksa, because I was the only non-Jewish actress playing one of his girls. So every night in the Sabbath scene, when he would introduce all his daughters, he would go, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. And when it came to me, he would say, and this is mine? And he also taught me the only three Yiddish words he said I would ever need to get through life. Mazel tov, oy vey, and schmuck.
You know, he's right.
Yeah, I know. I said that myself. And I guess the other one was with Sinatra because, I mean, he was the taskmaster of all times. Every night before I'd go on, he'd call me over, look me straight in the eye, and then he would give me a three-word pep talk. Don't screw up.
Did he use the word screw?
Yes, you did.
Well, okay. Well, I read the background. Are you also from Hoboken?
I was born in Hoboken.
So you and Sinatra are what they call linesmen.
We had adjoining mangers.
Yeah, well, when I lived in New York, I used to go to, there was a place called the Clam House in Hoboken that you eat your clams and then you throw it in the floor and crack the shells.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was still there.
Hoboken has really become like the new New York, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the new New York is. I still miss New York. I've been living out in most...
New York is going through
a renaissance or a...
I was thinking of the word reformation. But renaissance is probably more accurate. Rejuvenation.
Yeah.
Well, I've been living in Los Angeles for 30 years now, and I'm still looking for the city.
There is no city.
There ain't no city here.
Well, it's all about the
traffic. It's a collection of suburbs.
It is a collection of suburbs.
And Las Vegas is like that to a good extent, except for the Strip. You have a wide, big Las Vegas Valley with a lot of different communities, all going under the name of Las Vegas.
But my favorite story is I think they asked Ruth Gordon, where's her favorite place to live? And she said, high in the mountains overlooking the Pacific Ocean, 10 minutes from downtown New York.
Oh, God. I did a Broadway show with her in 95, Crazy for You. I did that for 6 months, and she was in it. She's wonderful.
Yeah, two of my favorite movies is Where's Papa and Harold and Maude.
Yeah. She passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
I know.
So, you're appearing in New York?
Yes, I'm going to be at the Metropolitan Room.
And where is that?
The Metropolitan Room is on... Park Avenue and, like, 21st Street. It's really a cool supper club. In fact, New York Magazine said it was the number one supper club, and I was there about a year and a half ago, and I was snowed out. There were 32 inches, huge blizzard.
Wow.
Yeah, this time I decided to come in the summer when there was no chance of snow.
In our email blast, which goes out to, I don't know, what, 7,000 people?
At least.
At least, whatever the number is, keeps growing and growing. We put in the phone number for the Metropolitan Club so that people would, you know, call early and make a reservation and not be locked out.
Well, give it.
The number for the Metropolitan Room in Nueva York is 212-206-0440, and she will be there on August 5th, 6th, 7th, 9th, and 10th. Not the 8th. 6, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10.
And when will you be at Vitello's again?
Wait, Malcolm.
Oh, sorry.
Done.
Oh, sorry.
Her show is called Pia Reloaded. Okay?
Wow, you've got all your facts down. And I'll be at Vitello's on the 22nd and 23rd of August. Yeah.
Now, is this your first performance coming back, or have you been performing?
Well, I started here. I was at the Metropolitan Room a year and a half ago, and then I came back here. And I've been just performing here since September, every weekly, for the weekends. But this is a new show, completely new show, and it's very exciting. So it's the premiere of the new Pia Relaunched, Pia Reloaded.
So do you like singing in smaller venues like the nightclub, which is more personal, or do you like more of the auditorium type of
No,
performing?
I love small rooms. I love the intimacy. Well, with the kind of music that I'm doing.
Right.
Well, then her voice will really carry, because I've seen her on the stage and she belts it out.
Well, I started on Broadway, so I guess that's where I got that from.
Okay, yeah. Pia, could you hold on for a minute?
Yeah, don't go away. We have an important station break with sponsors that are
paying.
Well,
that's the most important thing, of the sponsors, of course.
Of course. Because they help support. Without the sponsors of the host.
There would be no, we'd be public broadcast.
There you go.
Like on PBS?
On PBS.
All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Pia, don't go away. We will wrap it up.
You are listening to CRNTalk.com, heard over the world, and also interplanetary. So if you're on Mars or Pluto or any place in the galaxy, please call us.
Yeah, just tune us in.
And we'll be back in a few minutes with Pia Zadora. Stay tuned.
The next time you're in Southern California, visit the Riviera Restaurant in Calabasas. Riviera, as the name implies, is the ultimate in Calabasas restaurants. There's not even a close second. And what's better suited for the Beverly Hills of the Valley than a Beverly Hills type of restaurant and watering hole without those ridiculous Beverly Hills prices? They're so good. With impeccable service, they probably don't even need this commercial. Even now, it's hard to get a good table except for off hours. But if you really want to treat yourself or your date, call 818-224-2163. That's 818-224-2163. That's the Riviera Restaurant in Calabasas, California.
Hi, this is Greg Hunter, the host who loves you the most on CRN Digital Talk. My show, Nightside, has famous guests, reviews of current attractions, films, plays, dining rooms, all the good things in life. That's at 9 on Sunday evenings. Once again, 9 o'clock Pacific Coast Time, Sunday.
Take it away, Stan.
Okay, I'm back. This is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman on CRNTalk.com, and the name of the show is The View from Over Here.
I think we should change it to The View. Can we do that?
Can we do what?
Shorten the show and call it The View. It has a certain panache.
I called it The View.
No, The View, with that from over here. Just The View.
The View.
Never mind, you don't get it.
I don't get it. I'm not too bright today. Anyway, our special guest today is Pia Zadora, and we're going to have her on for the rest of the hour, which is about four minutes. Anyway, Pia, have a couple of more questions for you regarding your upcoming show.
Okay.
Number one, how long will it be?
About an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay. Have you already picked out your tunes? Anything special that you want to tell us about?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm sitting at my computer now going over my script and my song list and all that stuff. And we have some great stuff, some Broadway stuff. You know, I did the show Applause, so I'm doing the song But Alive that was from that show.
And that Lauren Bacall was in that, did the original?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And now I'm doing some Broadway stuff, Summertime, Porgy and Bess.
Wow.
And then your song you played earlier, Man That Got Away.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's a great song.
Was that Fanny Bryce?
No, Fanny Bryce.
No, that was on Star Is Born, Judy Garland.
Oh, is that Judy Garland? Okay.
Yeah.
She sang it in that movie, which was a remake of a remake of a remake, and then it was remade after that.
Well,
A Star Is Born.
Didn't Streisand sing that also? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
No, she didn't.
Now I remember. The
okay.
mind is clearing
up. That was Judy. Judy's trademark song.
Pia, will there be anyone else with you upstage, like doing warm-up?
Nope. Nobody, just me.
So you're going to warm them up and then knock them dead.
Yeah, and I'm going to have some clips, you know, of my past career and the movies, some of the movies like Hairspray, Naked Gun 33 and a Third, a little bit of Butterfly, just to show, you know, my past, like a little montage of my past.
So you're going to show film clips of from when you were a little kid?
Yeah, or from when I was very young.
Well, it said in your Wikipedia that you appeared on stage with Tallulah Bankhead.
Yeah, that was my first Broadway show. Yep. I was a shy little girl, and I went to a American Academy of Dramatic Arts Saturday classes to bring me out of my shell. I went to a parochial school, and the nuns thought that I was socially retarded because I was scared of other kids, and I was scared of the nuns.
Unbelievable.
I think it was you were successful in breaking out of your shell.
I think so.
That is incredible. A kid who is shy, timid, backward, and now can, you know, belt them out and compete with just about anyone in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Pierre, our hour is about up.
Okay.
And when you're in Los Angeles, love for you to come back and appear in person on the show.
That sounds great. Maybe when I'm in for Vitello's.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll have you here because we'd love to have you. We'd love to see you in person.
Yeah, well, you can come to Vitello's and see the show.
We will. That is a definite.
And Sam, you can come to Pia's Place.
Well, yes, I definitely want to do that, and I already wrote it down. August 11th to the 20th, you'll be in Vegas.
That's right. We'll have a date at the Red Rock.
You got a deal.
Okay, okay, thank you very much, Pia, and have a great show.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. You were listening to Pia Zadora and over on The View from Over Here on crntalk.com. You can get our back shows at www.viewfromoverhere.com and hear Pia Zadora again or anybody else that we've had over the past year. Is that right, Stan?
That's absolutely right.
And if you want to book guests, call up Stan. If you have anyone that you want to sponsor, or if you are a sponsor that wants to meet the immediate want to reach the immediate world, please call me. We'll be back next week with another great show. Have a great weekend. Week, not weekend.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.